Awesome. Praise God. Good morning. And God is good and all the time. And if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark. And I'm going to be reading Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. Mark 11, 22 to 24. As you're turning there, I just want to remind you that coming up, starting tomorrow week, So next Sunday, we have a guest speaker, Nick Vujicic, and the day after, we're starting our 21 Days of Breakthrough. And so last year, we did a 21 Days of Breakthrough where we did three spiritual disciplines all at the same time, and that was prayer, fasting, and giving. And the scripture indicates that every single one of these disciplines can actually produce breakthroughs in our lives. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, when you fast, when you pray, when you give, your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you openly. And so it went so well last year, and there was so much buy-in from our church, and we heard so many great reports that we've decided that I want to do that again this year. And it's just coming up on Monday, so not tomorrow, but the Monday after that. And so we have on your seat, on the seat next to you, the 21 Days of Breakthrough flyer. And within it, we're asking everybody to pray and consider about how they can participate in this. And so we're asking everybody to, number one, choose a fast. There's a number of different types of fasts that you can actually do. We had actually some people in our church last year actually do a water fast for the 21 days, which was just incredible. And others were doing, I know myself and my wife Trish, we did a juice and broth fast. So we were drinking juice and broth for that period of time. But there are other options you can do. Another number of people in our church actually did what's called a Daniel fast, which is just basically eat fruit and veg. I was talking to my sons about the fasting that they were going to do. And my youngest son, Ifa, he said he is going to fast fruit and veg, as in he's not going to eat it. And I said, no, that's not what the Daniel fast is. And so, and he said, well, you got to fast coffee. Well, anyway, so which I will do. So there's that. There's also intermittent fasting. We have a number of people that decided that they can't, you know, do too much fasting during the whole time, but they might choose periods of time during the week where they will actually do that. And so some people did that. Also had some people were unable to do any of those things, but were able to do some other things. And so maybe they were fasting television or social media or something like that. And instead of spending time on that, started spending time praying, spending time with God. And so I'm encouraging everybody, you don't have to do what everyone else is doing. We're just asking everybody to hear from God and seek God about what you would do during that period of time. The other thing we're asking people to choose is not only choose a fast, but also choose a prayer meeting. And so for those 3 weeks, we have a number of prayer meetings on at both campuses a number of times during the week, all at different times, so that to try and give people as much opportunity or to capture as many people that you can choose a time that would actually suit you. And so that is all in that as well. And then also on the last day of the 21 Days of Breakthrough, which is on June 16, we're going to receive what's called a breakthrough offering. And so on that day, we're encouraging everybody to consider what they can give at that time. Now, the purpose of it is actually that I'm a firm believer, and you would know this, that sometimes the mechanism by which God gets us a breakthrough is actually through our giving. And so I'm going to encourage everybody to consider what they might give at that time. I know myself, God has already spoken to me about what I'm to give. This is not about taking pledges. This is not about advertising what people are giving. It's a private discipline between you and God. And so we will do that. There's also tax deductible options as well. We will, from this offering, fulfill our missions commitments. And so last year, we were able to fulfill all our missions commitments from this offering, which is great. And then we can use it. We can use whatever's left over for some other things. And so we will be giving to 100% Hope. We will also be giving to Surf Life Saving Australia when we've got Pastor Russ and Jenny Harmon here today. Welcome, guys. Good to see you. Let's give them a round of applause. They're family. And we also make an extra contribution to our community care arm, Plus One Care. And so that is where, and we will be resourcing that from the breakthrough offering. But really, the focus is actually we're believing, and one of the things I'm really keen to encourage people to do is to learn how to access breakthroughs through one of these disciplines. And so I'm going to ask you to seek God about what He would have you give, and it's between you and the Lord. And we're not going to follow you up or ask for pledges or anything like that. It's not about that at all. So encourage you to do that. With that in mind, I want to share from Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. And so you may remember a couple of weeks ago, I did a message about prayer, and I want to do another one today. And it's found from Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. And it says this: "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.'" Title of my message today is Patterns of Answered Prayers. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask and pray that you help us to make our prayer effective, Lord God, to actually produce results, Lord God. I thank you and I praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The context of this scripture is just before this, Jesus and his disciples were out and ministering, and they found and they happened upon a fig tree. Jesus went to the fig tree, didn't have any figs. And so gentle Jesus, meek and mild, he actually cursed the fig tree and said, "You're not going to have any figs again," and just walked off. And the disciples didn't think anything of it, you know. And so a little while later, when they came back, the fig tree had shriveled up and died. And it really amazed them. They're like, "God, that, you know, Jesus, that what you actually said actually happened in this case." And then he comes on to this passage of scripture where he says, you know, if you speak to the mountain and don't doubt in your heart, it will actually be done for you. And then Mark 11, 24, which is a very well-known verse, says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So this is one of the clearest teachings from the Lord about how we are to pray and also how to we are to see draw down from heaven and draw and produce miracles and things in our world. There's different types of prayer that we can do. We can do prayer where we can just sit and wait upon the Lord. There's other times we could just worship Him. But make no mistake, there has to be a part or a segment of our prayer life where we're actually believing for God and actually asking for Him for things. In fact, the scripture tells us that in the Lord's Prayer, that the Bible says that we're to ask for our daily bread. Jesus also says, "Ask and you will receive, that your joy will be full." Part of the Christian life, part of intimacy with God, and part of the way we communicate with Him is actually that we ask Him and believe Him for actually for things. And He actually tells us here how to approach it, how to go about it. And within Mark 11, 24, there's a bit of a pattern that we can actually pick up about the kind of prayers that God answers. And so I want to talk to you today about patterns of answered prayer. The first thing is this. Mark 11, 24, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray," when you pray. The King James Bible actually says, "Whatever things you desire when you pray." It doesn't say whatever things you desire, comma, when you pray. It says whatever things you ask, whatever things you desire when you pray. So it doesn't mean that whatever whim or fancy that you have and are asking for is going to come to pass. It doesn't actually say that. It doesn't say whatever you desire when you're angry. It doesn't say whatever you desire when you're offended. It says whatever you desire when you pray. Believe that you'll receive them and you'll have them. The first part of prayers that get answered is number one, conceive. Conceive. God gives us the desires and the things that He wants us to actually believe for, and a lot of the time it comes about when we pray. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart." So what that means is this: as you pray, He starts dropping desires in. And those are the things He actually wants to come to pass. That's why really I do believe, not wanting to be legalistic, but our prayer life really should be more than just like a 30-second prayer every now and then. Because we actually need to spend some time in His presence and allow Him to start dropping desires in our heart. And so what actually happens is we actually conceive, he starts dropping into our heart desires, and those are the things that are going to come to pass. One of the things I've found over the years in doing some fasting is very, very often the prayer list I enter into the fast with is not the full prayer list I leave the fast with. That very often it's in the fast and it's in the praying that other desires come forth. It's that time spent with Him. That is why I'm encouraging everyone to choose a prayer meeting to go to. It might be more than what you normally would pray, but that's a great time for God to start birthing other desires or conceiving, dropping into your heart other desires that He wants to see come to pass. These are desires that come from the habit of actually praying. A number of years ago, I was, and I've done a bit of prayer and fasting over the years, and a number of years ago, I remember I was praying about whether I should move to Brisbane, or whether Trish and I should move to Brisbane to start a Bible college. And so, I really felt in God that I should fast. And so I started fasting, and on the first day at morning tea, I knew I was supposed to go. And I thought, that's awesome, best fast I've ever been on. I only skip breakfast and I can have brunch. I got clarity immediately. But then I really felt in my heart I'm supposed to keep going. And I was just praying. And I just said, Lord, how long do I go for? And He said, keep going till you feel hungry. Now, that's scary because when you're on a God-ordained fast, and many of you would know this, I know many of you said this last year, as soon as you started the fast, a lot of the hunger pain left. That there was a grace that came upon you. And interestingly, when Jesus fasted in Luke chapter 4, before He started His ministry, it said at the end of 40 days, He got hungry. And so what that means is that very often when you're on a God-ordained fast, that literally the hunger leaves, there's a grace for it. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, just fast and until you feel hungry. So each day I'm waking up. You know, and it's like, I wake up and, oh no, it's, not hungry, day three, not hungry, which is unusual because I'm half Tongan. Day six, not hungry. Day 10, not hungry. Day 13, wasn't hungry. I'm thinking, oh man, how long am I going to go? In the midst of that time, God started birthing another desire. And He said, this is actually what you're really fasting for. And basically, it was for a season where I would go and be a traveling speaker and be an itinerant minister. And on the lunchtime on day 13, I was praying for the Holy Spirit to say, it's done. I said, okay. And so I was getting a bit legalistic and religious. And I know that day 13 is the number of rebellion. And so I didn't want to finish on the day 13 because it's the number of rebellion. So I went to day 14. So technically, I rebelled on the day of rebellion. But anyway... hunger pains came in, starving, grace lifted. The next week I got 3 invitations to preach. And then after that, for the next 6 years, 3 or 4 events a month, unasked for, not trying to sell myself or anything, got invited to preach. And then after that, went for 6 years full-time, 50 weekends a year, 3 or 4 events a week, preaching and that sort of thing. And I can pinpoint it to that. But it was started on a fast where I didn't know what I was fasting for. And just started doing that. And as I did it, the desire dropped in. That's the thing I want to come to pass. I find that things I pray for on holidays don't always come to pass because I'm at a place and I say, oh, Lord, I want that house and I want this. And you know what I mean? And it's there for a moment, but that's not really what God was wanting to bring to pass. This is not like a magic formula that whatever I just simply decide that God's a genie in a bottle and I can just make Him do whatever I want. No, it's not like that. He's the Lord. But when we pray and have that habit and spend a bit of time, He starts dropping desires in and then we conceive. There's a conception on the inside and that's the beginning and that's the thing He actually wants to bring to pass. So that's why I'm encouraging everybody, choose a prayer meeting. Because when you choose a prayer meeting, you're going to spend a little bit longer than you normally would. And it's in that little bit longer than you normally would, that lingering a little bit longer, that spending a little bit of extra time, that's when God will drop things in your heart. It's one of the marks of Joshua's leadership. The Bible says that when Moses would go into the tabernacle and he would spend time with the Lord and then he would leave, but Joshua would linger a little bit longer. and he'd stay a little bit longer. And there are times in our Christian walk we've got to linger a little bit longer. There are seasons where it is good for us to spend a little bit of extra time in the Lord, not just skim our Christian walk, throwing up prayers as we go occasionally during the day, but sometimes digging a bit of a deeper well so that we can actually get the mind of God and allow him to drop some things into our heart. The first part of prayers that get answered is actually conception. That is why there's sometimes prayers don't get answered. They're not God's will because they weren't birthed in prayer. They were birthed in anger or they were birthed in offense. Jesus went to a town that didn't receive his ministry and James and John said, Lord, we're going to send fire onto that town. And Jesus didn't say, oh, well, you asked it in my name. I guess I better do it. He said, get away. It's not my will. That desire was birthed from a bad place. That's why the Bible says we've got to guard our heart with all diligence. Sometimes the things we're passionate about and desirous about actually come from a bad place. And so that's why it's good to allow, spend a bit of extra time, have different seasons where we spend time in God's presence and we just linger a little bit longer. And as we do that, we start seeing things starting to form on the inside and desires start forming. And I can guarantee you those are the things that are eventually going to come to pass. So the first part of it is that we actually conceive. The second part is this. He says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. He doesn't say whatever you ask for, you'll have. He says, whatever you ask for when you pray, believe. And if you believe, you'll actually have them. The second key, the second pattern, the second part of it is you've got to actually believe. You actually have to believe. If you believe for something, if God drops something into your heart and you believe it, then that's the next step. That's why sometimes when we pray, we have to pray more than once about the same topic. We need to pray through. There's an old school saying, it's like we pray through things. We need to pray through until we start believing. That there's been many times that you know that God wants to do something and he might drop something in your heart and you know it's his will, but you don't have the faith for it. So what do you do? Keep praying until the faith actually comes. And you keep praying about it and then you believe. I mentioned during the weeks of 21 Days of Breakthrough, I'm going to focus more on Elijah on Mount Carmel. And what happens is he says, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. There'd been a famine and a drought. And so he goes up and it lasted a number of years and the drought was so bad there wasn't any dew on the ground. It was a bad drought. And he goes up onto Mount Carmel and he starts to pray. And the Bible says that as he prays, and interestingly, he prays, I can't do it here because my pants are too tight, but he gets on the ground and the Bible says he puts his head between his knees. In fact, even without the pants, I couldn't do it. But almost like a birthing position. Amen? Come back, Holy Spirit. And he prays once, send his servant. Is there any rain? No, come back. Pray again. No, come back. No, seven times. And then the servant says, eventually, I see the cloud, the size of the man's hand. And that was the moment. It's going to happen. Let's go. It didn't happen right at that moment, but the faith came at that moment. In the same way, when God speaks something in your life about something you've got to do, that's going to happen. Sometimes we have to keep praying until the faith actually comes. You know, a number of years ago, my first year of ministry, I've mentioned it before, felt like an abject failure back in 2000 and took over a youth group and had 22 kids on the first night, which was awesome. Made us the second biggest youth group in the town. And by the middle of the year, during my incredible leadership and vision, the youth group grew down to six. And not only that, I'd had all these other youth pastors from around the state saying, mate, Mackay's a tough town. Mackay's a tough town to be a youth pastor. It's a tough town. And it started getting on the inside of me. Sometimes we need to be careful who we listen to, by the way. Faith comes by hearing. So does doubt and unbelief and bitterness. That's just another thing. And so, amen. And so I was just, and then I just did not have any belief. And I remember I was at a conference here on the Gold Coast and the speaker was, and some of you would have been there. I'm sure Russ Harmon was there. And Yongyi Cho was speaking at the Dream Center, I just had this faith thing. I felt, you know, that I'm supposed to, that God actually wanted me to succeed in Mackay. And so I remember I was praying in my room, and I prayed for about 2 hours. And after about 2 hours, just praying the same thing, until eventually I was like, you know what? I actually think I am. When I started praying, I didn't have any faith. So I didn't just stop there and say, oh, mustn't have been God's will, try something else. If you know it's God's will, but you don't have the faith or the belief, keep praying till it drops in. And then when you believe, you'll receive. He drops it in. Have you ever prayed for something and then you've known there's been a moment, it's like, it's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen. Does that make sense? You started praying, it's like, I don't even know how this is going to happen. But there comes a moment when you know it's going to happen. That's what I'm talking about. You keep praying and you keep laying a hold of God and you keep banging on that door until you know the answer's coming. Now, you may not see it straight away, but you just know on the inside. That's why it's easier to be like Jesus and actually live in faith. Jesus was constantly, he was living in faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes I think, and I'm guilty of this, I think sometimes we walk by sight too much. And we allow some of the negativity that we see to determine our faith. But we don't walk by sight, we actually walk by faith. So that is why we need to be living in faith. One of the best ways that we can live in faith, and Jesus actually says this, he actually says that whatever you say, you'll have. So what that means is that we need to be careful how we talk. We can't be just talking doubt, negativity, unbelief, disappointment, discouragement, and then come to God with faith. Don't work that way. Bible says we eat from the fruit of our mouth. Phil Pringle actually says that our mind is a keyboard and our tongue is a, their mind is a computer and the tongue is the keyboard. And as we speak words of life, speak words of hope, speak words of faith, you're actually living at a higher level. That's why even in church, if we come ready for church, ready to receive, more things are going to happen. You know, when I was a kid and I was going to, and I used to go to church with my parents, in the morning my dad would get up and he'd put on all these old hymns. And I didn't like them, but he put them on. What was my dad doing? He's getting ready for church. He wasn't on staff. He wasn't a pastor, but he was coming to the house of God. And so he was getting himself ready. And all the way in there to church, and the ABC would have these this channel where there's all hymns in the morning on the Sunday morning. And so we'd be listening to all that on the way in. And what's he doing? He was coming ready to church with an attitude to help create an atmosphere of faith and belief that God might actually do something in our midst. That's why the Bible said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Bible says, I enter his gates with thanksgiving. Don't say, I wait to the third song till I thanksgive. It says, I enter, I'm ready, I'm prepared. My faith is up, ready to receive something. You know, a couple of weeks ago at the night service, had a prayer meeting. We have always have a prayer meeting, and it's open actually. It's not just for the volunteers, but the volunteers have to go to it. But it's open to everybody, and it's always 45 minutes. We go for 15 minutes, 45 minutes before the start of any service that we do. And so we have a prayer meeting at 5:15, it's with the volunteers before the night service. And for whatever reason, 2 weeks ago, it was just hot. Like everyone got in there sometimes, you know, and sometimes the guys, there's a lot of young adults, and sometimes they're hanging out at the beach all day and pretty lethargic. They came in and everyone was ready and hot, ready to pray. And it was like there was an atmosphere of faith, there was an atmosphere of belief. In that service, we just did our usual thing of just praying for whoever needs prayer. And, you know, and sometimes it can almost get a little bit religious, I guess. And we were doing that. And in the middle, and then afterwards I found out that there was a guy who'd come, and he was a Bible college student, actually. He goes to the same Bible college as our interns do, and he was visiting. And he came along, and he'd actually had a broken wrist. And he said when the guys were praying for him that actually the bones in his wrist started moving. And then he started being able to move it. And so the next day he goes to get it scanned, and they said it's completely whole. It's better than it was before. And I just couldn't help but thinking, I reckon it happened in the service when everyone was ready and came ready with an atmosphere of faith and an atmosphere of hope and an atmosphere of expectation. My prayer has always been, you've heard me say it last year ad nauseum, that when people talk to a King's person, we are the most positive, faith-filled, uplifting people on the face of the planet. And that doesn't mean we won't have any problems, but it depends on what you look at. Bible says magnify the Lord, not your problems. So many of us magnify our problems. Oh, I've got a sore back today. You know, such and such didn't call me. Things aren't going my way. Oh. Well, what are you looking at? Magnify the Lord. Bible says the hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. What does that mean? We lift him up. Talking up, talking faith, talking belief, living at that level. And you'll be amazed at how it affects your ability to receive things from God. He says right here, he says, if you believe that you receive them, then you'll have them. We need to be people who are willing to believe. And then the next thing is this, he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, he doesn't say when. He just says you will. That's why the Bible says the promises of God are inherited through faith and patience. So very often, we've got the faith, we believe it's going to happen, and then it doesn't happen when we want. So what do we have to do? Stay in faith and be patient until it actually comes to pass. There have been so many times, one of the things I've learned, I don't want to build a theology on it, okay? This is not a theology on it, this is just a personal experience. But one of the things I've learned is that very often when God has shown me something and it seemed so close and it seemed like it was going to happen, very often it actually happens a lot later than what I wanted. Because he says you will have them, but he doesn't actually say when. I remember it would have been 11 years ago, it was 2008. And what I used to do, my devotional habit was to go on a prayer walk. And so I would go and walk and I'd be praying at the same time. It was about 45 minute walk by the time I finished it. And this one particular year, it was 2008. I spent so much of that time, I'd start praying, but then I'd be lost in dreaming. And the thing is, there's nothing wrong with being lost in dreaming. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we'll have dreams and visions. And so we need to actually allow ourselves to dream and have visions as well, because that can be the Holy Spirit speaking to us about things to come in the future. And I remember in 2008, all I did, whenever I was praying, I'd start praying for things and then I'd just get lost. And for half an hour, I'd be like having visions and dreams, and it was all about the same thing for the whole year. And the thing for the whole year was I had this vision and these dreams that I was going to be just traveling around Australia, getting on aeroplanes, going away on the weekend, coming home during the week. And I just had that happen. And it was so strong, it was for a whole year, I assumed it was going to be in 2009. And so I was telling people, mate, I'm so excited about 2009. 2009 is going to be awesome. Well, I'll tell you, I got into 2009. 2009 was a bad year. And I thought, well, all that stuff I was thinking, you know, didn't happen. No, it wasn't that it wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't going to happen when I thought it was going to happen. And actually, it actually did happen in 2012. So that was 3 or 4 years later. The reality is when we pray for things, we actually, God drops the desire. We pray until faith rises. And then what happens is it will happen. It may not happen overnight, but it will happen, and we're going to receive it eventually. One of the keys is we need to make sure as Christians that in that in-between time, in the time in between where faith rises and it actually comes to pass, we need to make sure we don't get heart sick. The Bible says in Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so often it can happen to all of us. When something doesn't happen when we think it's going to happen, we actually get heart sick. We get discouraged, we get disappointed, we get more easily hurt. We get a little bit too pragmatic and cynical because of it didn't happen when it wanted to happen. But one of the things I've learned, and one of the things that many of you know as well and would testify, is if it didn't happen when I thought it was going to happen, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Because Jesus says that if you ask, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And I believe that for some people here, that during this 21 days of breakthrough, as you pray, God is going to birth some desires. And as you continue to pray, the faith's going to come in. And then post 21 days of breakthrough, have an attitude of hope and expectation. Keep your faith and hope high because you'll position yourself to receive the things that God has for your life. Amen? And so this morning, I want to do kind of like somewhat of a preparation time for the 21 days of breakthrough. And I apologize to my team because I only felt God tell me to do it last night and we weren't prepared for it. But what I want to do is I want to, and we're going to be, there's going to be about half a dozen of us up the front here. And I don't know if you remember when we prayed for the everyone who was a teacher or worked in a school, we prayed for them at the start of the year and we anointed them with oil. I want to anoint everyone who wants to. I'm not going to force you to do something you don't want, but I'm going to pray for everyone who wants to anoint you in preparation for the 21 days of breakthrough. It's like a preparation anointing. It's a little bit like when Jesus was staying at someone's house and then Mary Magdalene came in. She took a jar of nard perfume, poured it on his head, and Jesus said, "This she has done." It was an anointing. She anointed him. She said, "This is done in preparation for my burial." And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, anoint people in the church in preparation for the 21 days of breakthrough. And so what we're going to do...